We're going to turn again to the Word of God. The book of Jonah, in the chapter 3. It's in the providence of God. We're looking at this word because we're thinking of the way ahead. Our elders are thinking of the way ahead. Members of the congregation are thinking of the way ahead. We're looking for God's choice when it comes to the occupancy of this pulpit. God's choice and nothing else. We're looking for God's man, that man sent from God. And if we pray, if we look to the Lord, if we plead the promise, then we have assurance that the Lord will go before us even in that matter too. So the hymn is appropriate. And I believe the message is as well, because it sets the standard for the ministry. It shows us the kind of ministry desired here in this congregation. That's Jonah chapter 3, if you would look up the chapter, please. I'm going to read the first three verses to you. Think about them. Even now, pray over them. Pray them into your heart. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. God wasn't stuck for messengers. He wasn't stuck for prophets. Why, he could have raised up prophets from the stones in the wilderness. Never mind deal with a truculent, unwilling, stubborn man like Jonah. Well, what a marvelous book this is. How God takes it dealing with some people who are not fully yielded to him as yet. Oh, we're looking for that to come when there's a full surrender made. This is just a picture of ourselves, because in many, many ways we're not yielded to God. We want to be. I do believe that. I do believe for every Christian in this building now, there is that God-given desire that our lives might be brought into conformity with his will in every way. And yet there's that in us that resists the will of God. We dig our heels in sometimes, and we have another way to go. But it's not God's way. That's what we have here. And what I'm saying is, God could have raised up thousands of men to go to Nineveh. His power is not limited. But he had one man to go on that all-important mission. He took one man. That man was stubborn. That man didn't want to go. You know the story well, but it's good to refresh our minds about it. He didn't want to go. He was not willing for God's will. And yet God put that man there even though he was not willing to go. God put him there. And so I say, well, surely, providentially, this is a message for us today to think God has a man for this place. Never lose sight of Jesus in that matter. And let us recognize God's man is the best man. In fact, he's the only man. And we're saying, Lord, just you raise up your servant. The Lord could send hundreds of people if he so desired. But God has specifically one man in view here. That's Jonah chapter 3. And that's why you read as you do in verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. The Lord has to speak to the man very likely more than once before he gets to be convinced. And then verse 2, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now there's the ministry we desire. Men are trained for the ministry, and they come equipped with thoughts about Scripture, the desire to preach, and all sorts of lines that open up to them in their meditation upon God's holy word. And yet, with all respect, those lines of teaching may comply with Scripture. That's what we would desire. But there's nothing to beat this. The preaching of which the Lord said, that's the preaching I bid you to preach. We might want to preach something else, but if God says, listen, that's your text, that's your scripture, that's your passage, that's the word for you. Preach the preaching. I don't know if you mark your Bible, but if you do, and I think it's good practice, provided you have the right kind of pen that doesn't bleed through, but it is good practice. You could look at this second verse, and as long as you live as a believer, when you consider the house of God and that meeting where we're listening for God's message, just you pray along these lines concerning every man who comes before we even make the choice under God for the man who's going to minister here. But for everybody who comes, Lord, let him preach the preaching that you tell him to bring. Let us bring no other word. Preach the preaching that I bid you. I have a wee bit more to say about that, so I'll just linger there. And verse 3, it warms our hearts, and we come to this. So Jonah arose and went on to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. That settled the matter, didn't it? According to the word of the Lord. If there had been arguments before, and I believe there were, plenty of arguments put up by Jonah against the Lord. For I did say moments ago, he's a stubborn man. The Lord knows who he's working with. He sends him. And at length he went, and this is a lovely thing in the chapter, he went according to the word of the Lord. That's my desire for our prayer meetings. Our prayer meeting tomorrow night, for example, it might be a meeting which will proceed according to the word of the Lord. I would ask that in all our services in the Lord's day, the preaching, the singing, everything might be according to the word of the Lord. The visit that Dr. Campbell and Mrs. Campbell will make to Uganda, I know I can speak for them. It's their heart's desire fervently that they might go according to the word of the Lord, and the classes that are taken and the ministry that's given, it'll be according to the word of the Lord. And that's a thrill. That really thrills our hearts, that what we're doing, even if it's after long argument, and here was Jonah, not fully yielded, but fighting, I suppose, fighting every inch of the way, but at last it settled. He's going according to the word of the Lord. That's powerful. Let's just bow briefly in prayer. And my prayer is, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lord, we give thy word now into thy hand. Thou hast spoken already. We have circulated some thoughts about it already. And we ask thee, Lord, to take thy word, this precious word of truth, write it deeply into our hearts that we may never, never forget it. We'll find it the right thing to do in future times, to come into correspondence with the word of God and how we think and what we do more and more. But Lord, surely that's what is entailed in growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. The Lord, give me help and wisdom for this time that remains. Oh, grant the anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach. Turn our hearts to thee, Lord. Work in this neighborhood. Speak in this city. Oh, here we have a city to contemplate, perhaps nothing like Nineveh, and yet a city that is without God, a city that needs the word of Christ so urgently. Give us help, Lord. Give us help, we pray. Sometimes we feel like we're the one man going out in the work. We might feel that kind of loneliness, but we pray that we may also have the witness of the Holy Spirit that the Lord is beside us there in that work. Oh Lord, hear prayer even now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're turning to the book of Jonah briefly. This little book with four chapters. To me, are like four pictures of the man, that man whom we have been describing already, man Jonah. And you'll see chapter 1, you could call that chapter Jonah's persuasion, because he was persuaded, no matter what God said, that's the thing, no matter what God said, he was persuaded to go to Tarshish. Tarshish is a picture of the world. It's a place where multitudes know nothing of God, nor do they care about God or His Word. And Jonah is persuaded that's where he wants to be. It's not God's will for him. It's not the place where God wants him to be. But you see how a child of God can become wayward. He wants to be in the place. He wants to be doing the thing God does not want him to do. He wants to be in the place and in the company where the Lord does not want him to be. Jonah's persuasion is not right. He's persuaded in spite of all God says. He's persuaded that he should go at all costs to Tarshish. Now, if you moved away from that word persuaded, you could take into consideration the word perverseness, because that it's more blunt, yes, but really that's what we're talking about. Just perverseness with Jonah. Because God would have him go that way, and such is his perverseness that he must go the opposite way. That's what he's doing in paying the fare as he gets on board this boat bound for Tarshish. That's the picture then in chapter 1. And it's very easy to get a hold of that. Jonah's persuasion, in spite of everything God said, he was going on. And I fear that there could be a child of God and more than one in this congregation now. The Lord has been speaking to you for some time. I don't know what the issue is. It may be, if we take Tarshish to be a picture of the world, and I think we must do, that this wayward prophet, with his persuasion to go away from God, he's headed for the world. He's going more and more toward the world. And as he journeys, he's getting further and further away from God. That's perverseness. For the Lord didn't save you. He did not die for you on the cross of Calvary for you to be perverse like this and go your own, shall I say, stubborn way, a self-willed way. The Christian setting up the pattern for his own life. Well, looking at Christendom today, looking at evangelical Christianity in this country, I believe you'll agree with me. There are multitudes of God's people everywhere we turn who are living according to this pattern. They're going to go their way, even if it is a way that brings them nearer and nearer to the world and worldly society. They're going in the wrong direction. And we can only describe it as perverseness. Going contrary to God's will. I believe God's speaking. Surely, if you're a believer, the Lord's bound to be speaking to you. You're bound to know deep down in your heart this isn't God's way. This is not what God wants you to do. And the time has come for you, in turning to a little book like this, to see the persuasion that Jonah nurtured. God is going to Tarshish. You look at chapter 2, The next picture we have, and it's a better one. There is Jonah's prayer. Chapter 1, remember, his persuasion. Persuaded to go to Tarshish in spite of the Lord. But in chapter 2, Jonah's prayer. You look at verse 1 of chapter 2, you've got a hold of it right away. Jonah prayed, and it says, in fact, then he prayed unto the Lord his God. We don't read of him praying before this. We read of him being stirred up about prayer. We read of him being called to prayer, but we don't read about him praying. Then he prayed. I would like you to, if you're not coming to the prayer meetings on the whole, I'd like you to have thoughts about this. You're a child of God. Aren't you one with us in this ministry? Aren't you one with us in this congregation? I would want you to think very deeply about being represented at some of our prayer meetings. Perhaps Monday night doesn't suit you. Some people work late on Mondays. Monday night may not suit. But what about the Lord's Day, in the morning time or in the evening time? Dear child of God, your days are very, very precious. And the Lord has mapped out our pathway in life, whether it's long or short. And you will want to recognize the Lord more, perhaps, than you've done. We're still in the month of January. That's the month of, as we put it, New Year resolutions. How about in this congregation, starting to go through with God? We sang those words Friday night. They're very near to Mr. Martin's heart because of the man who wrote them and because of his knowledge of that dear friend of his, God's servant, now in glory. But I tell you this, you will want to go through with God and not miss God's way. And perhaps you're not found among God's praying people. And God had to send a storm. He had to send disruption into Jonah's life. And I would suppose he was terrified as well. Although for a while he didn't show that, for he was able to sleep so soundly in the midst of the storm. And then he prayed. And he prayed in the hardest possible circumstances. For chapter 2, verse 1 relates that he prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So we know Jonah was alive in the belly of the whale, that great monster of the deep. We know he was alive at the time when he was inside a strange prayer room. He had the most extraordinary prayer room that anybody could think about, for he was praying in the belly of that great fish. Then he prayed. He prayed there. Now, some of us could be praying with the saints. Now, don't leave it to circumstance to where you're going to be praying in some out of the way situation like Jonah here, Jonah's prayer. It is a tremendous prayer. Prayer of a disobedient, stubborn, self-willed believer. Doesn't it speak? Doesn't it speak volumes? Then he prayed. But to encourage you, you would never expect this now if I say a stubborn, self-willed, disobedient believer. You would never expect God to take note of his prayers, would you? And on top of that, you wouldn't expect God to answer them either. How gracious the Lord is. I wish I could call you by name. If I happened to be talking about you, if I happened to be describing a struggle that you've been going through past these past weeks, and the devil may even get to you and say, you needn't pray in your state spiritually. Self-willed, stubborn, disobedient, wayward. You're the last person to pray. Oh, you might be. I want to cheer you with this fact. You have a loving Savior. You have a God who cares. And if God cared for Jonah, in spite of it all. And you've got to get into the passage to see how stubborn he really is, even through to chapter 4. What an extraordinary person. He's not the kind of man whose prayers you expect could be answered. He's not even the kind of man you expect would pray. But I'm calling you now to put all on the altar. I'm calling on you now to go through with God, to take the second picture in reference to yourself. It's time I prayed. It's time I sought God. It's time I spent a little while each evening before the Lord. And maybe then, through the course of a week, to give more than a little while to the Lord. How about taking an hour alone with God, at least once in a week? Could it be a Wednesday night? No, you may be in the children's work. Well then, what about the Thursday night? Can we ask for this? Can I ask for this? That you would set aside one night, or it could be an afternoon if you're able to do that. Take a specific time for seeking the Lord. You can be so occupied with life that you're cruising on from day after day and you're not meeting with God. Jonah has an extraordinary prayer room, I say. The fish's belly. Never a harder place to pray. I wouldn't have cared to be there. I suppose if Jonah prayed, maybe then I could pray as well, but I'm tempted to say, oh, well, that wouldn't be the place where I would like to pray. Then Jonah prayed, and God recorded his prayer. God answered his prayer. You can come back to the Lord. You can get onto praying ground. You can pledge yourself today as a believer that you will go through with God. If we're going to get God's man here, if we're going to pray, make this a matter of prayer as a congregation, where more than ever, with a set purpose, we'll seek God's face, knowing the Lord will answer. And here I am saying, if a man like this can pray, have his prayer recorded, if God will answer that man. I'm not saying God turns a blind eye to sin. I'm not saying that at all. And Jonah has to give account to God for his waywardness, no doubt. But at the same time, we can all think of our waywardness. And we'll all think of ways where, yes, recognizably, we have not followed through with God at all. And like Jonah, with his persuasion, we have our minds made up. This Lord is what I'm set to do, and I ask you to bless me. Jonah might even have had the audacity to say, Lord, bless me as I go to Tarshish. You can't ask the Lord to do that. You can't ask the Lord to bless you if your willful steps are taking you right out of God's will. You can't say, Lord, look with favor on me and bless this activity of mine. That's not reasonable. Jonah's prayer. It's a lovely picture book. Children like pictures. I remember well my childhood, being so fond of books, I was eager to get my hands on all sorts of books. Books, of course, for boys to read, books of adventure too, and books about different countries of the world. And I could tell you how that influenced me in afterlife, and sometimes amusingly as well. Well, I say this today. We're looking at this little book, the book of God. And in the book, there's pictures. Even then, childhood, I like to get the picture. And I look for the picture to illustrate the story. The picture's here. Jonah's persuasion. Never mind about God. He had his mind made up. The second picture, Jonah's prayer. The third one, Jonah's preaching. That's the subject of the whole chapter. Right through 10 verses. That's the subject. I won't get anywhere near this subject today. But it's right here. Opens up to us with powerful application. Jonah's preaching. Then the third. The petulance. Petulance of Jonah. You could even put in the word pride, for that comes into it. You would have to put in, surely, the word preservation, because out there in the desert, exposed to a biting and blistering east wind that so exhausted Jonah as a man of the east, yet when that fearful and horrific wind rose up from the east, Jonah was overwhelmed, he was overcome, he felt faint, he was ready to die. You've got to add that into the picture for God to preserve him in that terrible situation. But above all, his petulance still comes out as he disputes the case with God. My time has gone, but surely we have to say something of Jonah chapter 3. Let us keep this preeminently in mind, the importance of God's word. Before you get to preaching, you have to think of the word itself. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh." God spoke to this man. He's the most openly disobedient child of God in all of Bible history. I think that's right. We have seen never so many men in Bible history who had problems with God and God's will. A man who fought the day out with God. But there's nobody like Jonah. And so I have described him here as the most openly willful disobedience in his life. You see this pattern emerging. He's the most openly disobedient child of God in Bible history. And for all that, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came unto him time. Why did the Lord not give him up? For the same reason he hasn't given up on you and me. I'm glad the Lord speaks the second time. What a token of mercy that is. That God takes into account our waywardness. And still, with long suffering, still he pursues you. He comes after you. He calls your name. The word of the Lord came unto him. In spite of his waywardness and his arguments, his willful way that he was following, the word of the Lord came unto him. God may speak to you, even though your life is a pattern of disobedience, instead of a pattern where you have submitted unto the Lord. And God had a purpose for the man. Verse 2, arise, go unto Nineveh. He didn't want to go there, but that was where the Lord wanted him to be, that great city. Now, when it came to preaching, Jonah, in all likelihood, didn't go to a Bible college. He's raised up as a prophet from God. And so he comes with certain qualities built in, if you like. He would have been able and probably anxious to enlarge on numerous themes. As a prophet, he's a preacher. But the Lord is saying, wait a minute! Wait a minute! Preach unto them the preaching that I bid you. That word bid is, I don't want you to give you a grammar lesson, but it contains a sense of continuity. I could enlarge on this with the greatest of ease, but I say this much. It shows that the Lord is bidding him to do this time after time. And that conjures up in my mind the picture of an ongoing quarrel. There is Jonah arose, he went on to Nineveh. He's coming, verse 4. He has begun to enter into the city a day's journey. And this argument is still going on. He's got to Nineveh. You might say, that's it all over. No more struggle, no more battle. No, you're wrong. This man doesn't give up. And I believe the argument here, for it is suggested, The argument here is Jonah has his message, and he's set on delivering his message. But his message may be sound. His message may be correct in terms of Scripture. I reckon it was. So I don't believe he was persuaded that he should preach error. But he had his own theme. He had his own line of things. But God has said, wait a minute, tear it all up. If he had put it down on paper, if he had had paper, well, he had had to tear it up. Rip it up. Preach the preaching that I bid you. That is intended to put an end to all argument. No more struggling over this. You're surrendering on this point too. Preach the preaching that I bid you. There's only one thought uppermost in my mind when I think of coming days for the man who'll come here. I trust chosen of God. I trust sent of God. I trust prayed through by the people of God in this house. You know, we can never be more blessed. And when we have been blessed, richly blessed and wonderfully helped in Lisburn. But there's a pathway here, which I'm convinced leads on and on and on to greater things, where we can have greater blessings from God, as long as the man who comes will preach the preaching that God bids him. You see the importance of this chapter? Preach the preaching that I bid you. He had to have a word from God. God uses his word. I had a whole lot to say about this, and it's very important as well, but we can't touch on that now. I will say this. God uses his word. It's the business of the preacher to handle the book. The preacher has to be a man of the book. And when he comes to preach, he must preach as God directs him. He needs to have a word from God every time. Let him seek the mind of God for the congregation. Let him pray. Let the work be done on his knees. And then as he comes to minister, preach the preaching that I bid you. You do this. God's going to bless that kind of preaching. That is the kind of preaching that will carry the stamp of God on it. Because it's the preaching that the Lord has counseled the man about, even if there has been a fight over it, even if there has been a long struggle as well. I think the preaching will be all the better for the struggle, because he's saying, here I am, Lord, I'm going to preach it then. If you say that's the word, well then, so be it. And Jonah will preach that. That's, men and women, that's the way I want to preach. I want to preach all the time under the instruction of the Lord. I want to preach as the Lord bids me. If you're praying here, and I trust you are, for a man sent from God, we have every reason to believe God's going to answer that prayer. And when he comes, this is the framework for his ministry, that he might preach the preaching God will bid him. See, the Holy Spirit uses the word. And no, I mustn't go down that path too far, otherwise I'd be preaching the second part of my sermon. But you see the ministry, preaching what the Lord has told you to preach. Do what you're told. Some of you are bringing up wee children. Lovely to see them. But every mother here and father knows that when they get to that toddler stage, they're into everything, opening every cupboard and pulling out the stuff. Now, don't touch that, don't touch that. But already they've spilled the flour. Or what's that? That's the sugar over the floor. That's part and parcel of the mother's education. She's saying, will you do what I bid you to do? That's the hardest thing, you see. And it's the hardest thing, too, for the preacher. But he must be a man who's going to do what he's bidden. And that way, do you know, this congregation is going to go forward by leaps and bounds. God has great things in store. And you've got to get a hold of this chapter and make this the burden of your praying. Lord, let him preach nothing else, even though he's so well talented, even if he's so well equipped, let him preach nothing else. about the preaching that you bid him to preach. God uses the word. The Holy Spirit uses the preaching of the book every time. We only preach Christ and him crucified. However reluctantly, I'm going to close here. But I'll tell you this. This story is not over. You might say that's history. And that's all in the past. No, it's not. It's not over at all. Not by a long shot. You'll say, what are you getting at? Sure, Jonah's dead years ago. He might have lived about, 750 BC, something like that, on through to 800 BC, somewhere there, loosely. It's all over. No, it's not. What am I getting at? Remember in the reading earlier when I said the people in Nineveh believed God. Those people are long gone. That generation, it goes without saying, long since passed away. But they're alive, those people. They're in heaven. Those people who repented got saved. Those people came to know the Lord. They're in heaven. You'll meet them. You're going to meet those people. Luke 11 is at verse 41, 42. Well, I'll have it. You needn't turn it up. But Luke chapter 11, verse 32. Verse 32. Really, study it when you go home. These men in Nineveh will rise up in the judgment. You and I will be in the judgment. You and I will see the men of Nineveh. You and I will hear those people speak. You will meet them. You will see them. You will hear them. They will rise to testify in the judgment as to what God did way, way back then through the preaching of Jonah at Nineveh. They'll stand to testify that they repented. They came to know the Lord. Their lives were changed. That's as far as I can go today because of time constraints. Let us bow briefly in prayer. We're going to see the men of Nineveh. We're going to meet them. The story is not over. In fact, you could say it's just beginning. What a thrill it will be for you to see the men of Nineveh. Now the Lord says this, they'll rise up on the judgment, so you'll see them. The Lord will call them to give evidence in the great judgment day, so they'll all testify. They'll all testify, and I had some samples down as to their testimony too. Can't engage in that. You're going to meet them. And their lives were changed. They repented. They were saved. Through the preaching of Jonah, way, way back then. If they had testified, and then if they had backslidden, if they had fallen away, they couldn't stand in the judgment because they never repented at all. But repentance means their lives were changed forever. And they'll stand up in the judgment and they'll say, this is how the Lord dealt with me. Is the Lord dealing with you now? Lord, speak on. Answer prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.